We will turn again, please, to John chapter 14. John chapter 14. And our text for this evening are the words found in verses 13 and 14. So John 14 and the verse 13. Whatsoever ye shall ask in my name, that will I do, that the Father may be glorified in the Son. If ye shall ask anything in my name, I will do it. We need the Lord's help as we come to his word. Let us seek the Lord's face for that help to be given, that we might glean afresh from the living word this evening. Our gracious Father, we ask that that help of the Holy Spirit will be given to us this evening as we consider these beautiful words before us. And Lord, we pray that there will be a word in season for every one of our hearts. And we pray that we might have that renewed desire to call upon thee, yea, that renewed confidence to call upon the Lord's great name in prayer. Grant us that needed help of the Spirit of God, we pray in Christ's great name. Amen. Amen. I wonder, have you ever heard the words, you need to go back to school? If you hear those words, it's not really a compliment. I think as the Lord spoke these words that are before us, he really was saying to his disciples, you need to go back to school, or you need to stay in school, the school of prayer. The Lord had taught his disciples about prayer many times, many months prior to this in Matthew chapter 7. The Lord had said words that in many ways are very similar. Matthew 7 verse 7, ask and it shall be given you. Seek and ye shall find, knock and it shall be opened unto you. For everyone that asketh, receiveth. Verse 9, what man is there of you whom if a son ask bread, will he give him a stone? Or if he ask a fish, will he give him a serpent? If ye then, being evil, know how to give good gifts unto your children, how much more shall your Father which is in heaven give good things to them that ask him? What is prayer? Prayer is asking. So the Lord had explained all of this before. Ask. And yet he brings them back to this again. What is prayer? It is asking. Some of you have been saved for a long time, yet I'm sure you feel that you've never really graduated from the school of prayer. You have heard much about it. You have read much about it. And yet, I'm sure you feel there's so much more still to learn. So much more to implement. So it's no mistake that the Lord brings his disciples back to this very issue, as he would bring us back to this issue tonight. Ask. Now the words of our text, as we've read them, I'm sure have brought a number of immediate thoughts into your mind. Perhaps as we just read the words, you were thinking about how these words have been abused by many extreme charismatic preachers in our day, health and wealth preachers. They would take words like this as their motto. Whatsoever ye shall ask in my name, that will I do. That the Father may be glorified in the Son, if ye shall ask anything in my name, I will do it. And so they will say, if you want a Rolls Royce, you ask in Christ's name and he will do it. And they hold up themselves, that is the extreme charismatic preacher will hold up himself as an example of how effective this is. He is asked for a Rolls Royce or a helicopter and he has got it. And they have. Not because they have asked in the Lord's name. They say name it and claim it. But the reality for them is, name it and then fleece it. Prey upon a vulnerable people and get your way. But then tell them that they are to ask in Christ's name. It could be that we avoid this text because of that abuse. And we almost fear these words because they have been made to mean something that they do not mean. On the other hand, perhaps as we read these words, you feel perplexed over them. And you say, yes, I know this is true. I know the Lord has said this, but it's not my experience. I have prayed in the Lord's name. I have asked many things, and yet you feel the Lord has not done it. And so you bring your dilemma of unanswered prayer, and you ask, how can it be? How can it be when the Lord said, I will do it, that he has not done it? And so how are we to handle these words? There is a danger that we can build such a wall around these words that we almost strip them of any meaning. And so if we were to come to this and say, well, it doesn't mean this and it doesn't mean that, by the end you say, well, does it mean anything at all? I trust by the end of the message that that is not the conclusion. But seeking to run from the health and wealth interpretation, which is a false interpretation, there's a danger that we almost leave the words as being meaningless. So we could raise so many caveats that we lose the heart of the text, which is an exhortation to pray. The Lord is setting this challenge to his disciples. Pray. Ask in my name. And so there is a double promise here. Whatsoever ye shall ask in my name, that will I do. And then it's repeated in a way in verse 14, if ye ask anything in my name, I will do it. Now where you have that repetition in Scripture, it's for emphasis. And so this is not a verse that we're to run from, or two verses that we're to run from. All Scripture is true, but it's as if this is underlined and highlighted and an asterisk put beside it, and we're to pay attention to this. What we ask in the Lord's name, the Lord will do it. And in case we're slow to learn, and some of us are, the Lord repeated similar words. Chapter 16, verse 23. Chapter 16, verse 23. In that day ye shall ask me nothing. And God willing, in a future time, will come and explain what that first clause is referring to. But verily, verily, I say unto you, whatsoever ye shall ask the Father in my name, he will give it you. What you ask in the Father in my name, in Christ's name, he will give it you. Verse 24, hitherto ye have asked nothing in my name. Ask, and ye shall receive, that your joy may be full. Verse 26, at that day ye shall ask in my name, and I say not unto you that I will pray the Father for you. And so there's to be this asking in the Lord's name. The Lord says, I will give. And so if you go home tonight just thinking about the abuse of this verse, then I've certainly failed in my duty to you as a preacher. But if you go home with a renewed desire to pray, a renewed expectation in prayer, then I trust that the season in the Lord's house has not been a waste. Now there are two caveats, if I can use that word, in this particular text that is before us. It says, whatsoever ye shall ask in my name. And so we're not to read the verse as saying, whatsoever ye ask, that will I do. It's whatsoever ye shall ask in my name. And this is the first caveat, as it were. Prayer that falls into the category of our text is prayer in the Lord's name. And that means more than merely adding on to the end of a prayer, I ask in Jesus' name. And so someone could pray, Lord, I need a job. Give me the job as managing director of Rio Tinto. I ask in Jesus' name. Well, you might have said, I ask in Jesus' name, but you haven't. For most of us, that is not what the Lord would have for us, and therefore that would not be to pray in Jesus' name. Just hanging the words on doesn't make it to be in Jesus' name. You might want it to be, but it's not. So we must pray in the name of Christ. The second issue is that we must pray to the glory of God. In verse 13 again, whatsoever ye shall ask in my name, that will I do, that the Father may be glorified in the Son. The glory of God then trumps our wants. And these two issues, the name of Christ and the glory of God, are inseparable. To pray in Christ's name is to pray for God's glory. To pray for God's glory necessitates praying in Christ's name. And I want you to see then that there is here in this text an appeal to prayer. This is an encouragement to pray. And the Lord, having assured his disciples of doing those greater things that we talked about last week, he leads them, as it were, further up the mountain. And he promises them great blessing, as you ask for great things, if you ask in Christ's name, I will do it. I will do it. And I've entitled the message then, Christians asking in Christ's name. What does this mean? First of all, we are to pray on the basis of the work of Christ. We are to pray on the basis of the work of Christ. And so, as I've suggested already, to pray in the Lord's name is more than tagging on the end of our prayer, I ask in Jesus' name. And of course, it's right that we would use those words. It's right that as we come to prayer that we are thinking about this very issue. What does it mean to pray in Christ's name? To ask in Jesus' name is to beg on the basis of Christ's work. Because it has this idea of asking with authority. Asking with authority. If someone arrives at my door and says, open in the name of the Prime Minister, that person is claiming, rightly or wrongly, to have the authority of the Prime Minister. And so as we come and we pray in Christ's name, we are really saying, I'm coming and praying in all the authority of Jesus Christ. If we truly pray in Christ's name, it's as if Christ is actually making the request. When someone speaks with this authority, they carry the authority of the one that they have spoken in. And so, to use that example of someone coming in the name of the Prime Minister, they carry the authority of the Prime Minister. It's as if the Prime Minister has said it himself. And remember, such is the union that Christ then has with his people. If we truly pray in Christ's name, we come with great authority, not our own authority, but we come in the authority of Christ, and this can only be in the basis of his redemptive work. Now, thinking about this idea in Christ's name. In 1 John 2, verse 12, it says, I write unto you, little children, because your sins are forgiven you for his name's sake. And tonight, then, if you're a believer, your sin has been forgiven for the sake of Christ, for his name's sake, under his authority. What is that? It's on the basis of his work. On the basis of what he has done for you on Calvary. Now, taking that and applying it then to these words, whatsoever ye shall ask in my name. The word that the Lord uses for ask here is an important word. It's one of the general words for prayer in the New Testament, but it's a word that is never used concerning Jesus Christ praying to the Father. So this particular Greek word translated ask is never used of Jesus in his prayers to the Father. It couldn't be. Because the word ask here has the idea of a lowly petitioner. It has the idea of one who is needy coming to one that is great. Therefore, Christ could never use this word because he was not a lowly petitioner coming to the Father. He had and does have equality with the Father. But it is a word then that is used of you and me as we pray. We come as these needy ones, lowly petitioners. And yet while we come as inferiors, this is all in the word, while we come as inferiors, we come with authority. Authority that is not our own. And so again, thinking of that one at the door that says, I come in the name of the Prime Minister. He is not the Prime Minister. He is an ordinary citizen. But he carries great authority. And you and I then, as we come to the throne of grace, we are not Jesus Christ. But we come with all the authority that has been given to us on account of our head. We are these lowly petitioners. We are inferior. And yet we are heard because of a God-given authority. Authority because of what Christ has done for us on Calvary. If you could turn with me to Luke chapter 8, I'll just show you one example of this word ask being used, the word translated ask being used in the New Testament. There are many examples, but in Luke chapter 8, verse 41, and we have here the well-known account of Jairus, that ruler of the synagogue, coming to plead with the Lord on behalf of his daughter that was this time dying. Luke chapter 8, 41, behold, there came a man named Jairus, and he was a ruler of the synagogue, and he fell down at Jesus' feet and besought him that he would come into his house. He besought him that he would come into his house. And this word besought is the same word ask. And surely the manner here is really showing us something about what prayer is. He came and he fell at his feet. And this is like you and I, as we come to the Lord in prayer, we come and we cast ourselves at the Lord's feet. We don't come like that hypocritical Pharisee saying, Lord, I give tithes of what I possess. I fast 3 times in the week. These are all the things that I do know. We cast ourselves to the Lord's feet empty-handed. We beseech him. We ask. We come as lowly petitioners. We are really saying that we cannot live effectively without him. We need the Lord. We cannot turn our own circumstances around. Even our prayers are insufficient, but we come to the one who is sufficient. The story is told of R.A. Torrey when he came to Australia. He was in Melbourne preaching. And as he was about to come to preach, a note was passed to him with a question. And the question was to do with this whole matter of prayer and unanswered prayer. Because the one that had written the question was greatly perplexed about why he was not seeing answers to his prayers. And I think that's something that affects us all as God's people. But in the note, he mentioned how he had been a Presbyterian for 30 years. He had been a Sunday school superintendent for 25 years. He had been an elder for 20 years. And yet still his prayers were not being answered. Dare Tori, as he rose to preach, he took the note and he said he would address this before he came to preach. He said that he felt that the very note itself had revealed what the problem was. As the man was coming to pray, he was hoping that his good theological background would help. I'm a Presbyterian. His work for the Lord would help. I'm a Sunday school superintendent. I'm an elder. You should answer my prayer. And R.A. Torrey, as he answered, he said the man really had missed the whole point. The Lord doesn't answer our prayers because we are right theologically. And it's good to be right theologically. The Lord doesn't answer our prayers because we are working for Him, and it's good to work for the Lord. The Lord answers our prayer because of the merit of Christ's shed blood. How are we to approach? We approach on that basis then. And we come saying, Lord, I have no credentials to offer. But I come pleading the efficacy of the shed blood of Jesus Christ, the efficacy of Christ's finished work. As we pray for our children then, we're not to say, Lord, I've done my best that I can for my children, and here then is what I'm asking. Because as if then we're presenting some type of an argument what we have done. Rather, we come and we say, Lord, it's only thy work and thy grace that will bring a change in my family. As we pray for health, we're not to speak of how worthy we might feel ourselves to be of healing, but we're to cast ourselves entirely upon Christ's mercy. Or maybe I could try and illustrate it in another way. If I'm to go to the cash machine and put my card in order to withdraw cash, and I want to withdraw $100, but I don't have $100 in the account, I won't be able to withdraw those funds. Now, thinking back to the days when checks were being used, if we had a check from another person who had an abundance of funds in their account, we bring that check to our bank, we lodge that check in our account, we're able to receive the funds. Because that person has the reserves. They have the finance. And therefore, the check will be made good, as it were. We receive the funds. When I go to the bank of heaven, I have no natural reserves. I have no credit of my own. My labors for the Lord, my learning for the Lord, do not gain me any credit whatsoever. But there's much credit in the bank of heaven. Credit for us to take from all the merit of Christ. Now, if we can grasp that, I trust that you will see then that this text that is before us is not to drive us to despair, but rather it's to give us confidence in coming to pray, whatsoever ye shall ask in my name. And I want you to see then that our focus is to be on all the merit that there is in Christ. Whatsoever ye shall ask in my name. Remember, as you come to pray, this great credit. If you shall ask anything in my name, in my name, we're to argue on the basis of the wealth of Jesus Christ. Christ surely is being set forth here as the successful mediator. We've seen that already in John 14, especially verse 6, I am the way, the truth, and the life. And as the Christian comes to pray, Christ is our mediator. We have no access to the throne in ourselves. But Christ has opened the way. And therefore we come, we pray on the basis of what he has done, what he is. Pray on the basis of the work of Christ. I want to see then, secondly, that we are to pray being assured of the wonder of Christ. And I'm thinking here especially of the Lord's great strength. In the verse 13, it says, "Whatsoever ye shall ask in my name." And then verse 14, "If ye shall ask anything, if ye shall ask anything in my name, I will do it." And isn't it wonderful? The Lord didn't say, if you ask in a particular category, I'll do it. If you ask anything in my name, I will do it. If you ask anything in my name, not I may do it, or from time to time I'll see what I can do. But if you ask anything in my name, I will do it. I will do it. And surely the Lord was emphasizing to his disciples afresh, there's nothing too hard for the Lord. There's nothing too hard for the Lord. And this is to drive us to prayer, because we are to have our faith not in our ability to pray, but in our ability, I'm sorry, in the Lord's ability to give. So going back to verse 12, "Verily, verily, I say unto you, he that believeth on me, and surely that word believeth then carries over into verse 13, the one that is asking in faith, not doubting, not wavering. And surely then this verse is asking us not just to pray in the times when we have a big request, but pray all the time. Pray even when your request is small. If we only pray over the big matters, surely that in itself casts some doubt over our sincerity. But if we pray over everything, whatsoever ye shall ask, if ye ask anything, it shows something of our sincerity. That we ask over the little things. It's only natural then that we would ask over the big things. Pray being assured of the wonder, the strength of Christ. We'll move on then thirdly to see that this exhortation to pray is to pray in accordance with the will of Christ. Pray in accordance with the will of Christ. Our prayers are imperfect. Our prayers, though unintended, are often mingled with sinful thoughts. We pray for something and we don't intend it, but we pray it out of selfishness. Lord, deliver me out of this trial. And why have we prayed like that? Because we would like things a bit easier for ourselves. We may pray for something and it seems noble, but we've prayed out of ease. We've prayed out of pride. We've prayed for our ease. But these requests then may not be in the will of God. If our motivation is out of pride or selfishness or for ease, then it's very likely that we have not prayed in the will of God. In that sense, we have not prayed in Christ's name. To pray in Christ's name is to pray in accordance with the will of God. And so we could tag on the end of our prayer, "I pray in Jesus' name." But if it hasn't been prayed in the will of God, we actually haven't prayed it in Christ's name. If we do not pray in Christ's name, we cannot expect an answer. Now, there are times when we pray, we ought to see that we are praying contrary to the Lord's will. If I use a couple of extreme examples, There's no point in a lady praying, "Lord, lead me into the ministry. I ask you in Jesus' name." Because Jesus has already told her, that is not your role. It's not God's will for her to be in the ministry. So she can pray till she's blue in the face, I ask, in Jesus' name, but she's never prayed it once. Because every time she prays, that she's praying outside the will of God. So God has made his will clear in that. Or someone could pray about the issue of marriage, "Lord, let me marry this unconverted person and make it thy will." But it'll never be in the Lord's will. And therefore, if we're to come to this text and say, "Lord, you have said, if I ask anything in thy name, I will do it," we're to understand that to ask in the Lord's name is to ask within this boundary, as it were, of the will of God. Now, some of the fancy hotels have a programmed card that they give you if you're a guest. You can't get into the lift unless you have that card. You can stand there in jealousy over the other guests that you don't get up to one of those fancy rooms, but until you have that card, you'll not get into that lift. And so you could stand at the door of the lift and say, "I command you in the name of the manager to let me in." But the fact you don't have the card makes it clear you're not asking in the name of the manager. How are we to know what the will of God is? God's will is revealed in his word. Now, this morning, I made mention of the will of God, and I was thinking in that case very especially of God's particular will for our life in a particular matter. And there is an aspect of the will of God that does relate to that. Is it the Lord's will for you to be a farmer or a bus driver? There's no verse in the Bible that says it's God's will for Jimmy to be a bus driver. He's going to have to get before the Lord and discern that. But as we think of the will of God, it's not something that's airy-fairy. The will of God is what is revealed in his word. And so while there are times that, yes, we have to get before the Lord and say, "What is the Lord's will?" As we come to God's word on a daily basis, we see what God's will for us is. I'll give you an example in John chapter 17. John chapter 17, verse 15. And Christ here is praying, "I pray not that thou shouldest take them out of the world, but that thou shouldest keep them from the evil." Now, as we take these words and apply them to ourselves, how are we to pray out this verse 15 in light of ourselves? Surely we are to pray, "Lord, it is thy will that I would be kept from evil, and that I would be kept from the evil one." And we would acknowledge that it's not necessarily the Lord's will that I would be taken out of this world today. The Lord has still got me here. But though I am here, it is God's will that I would be kept from the evil. How can we ask in Jesus' name? Well, if you pray, "Lord, keep me from the evil and keep me from the evil one," I can assure you that you're praying then in the will of God. God's will is revealed that that is his will for you. Verse 17, "Sanctify them through thy truth. Thy word is truth." You can pray then, "Lord, sanctify me. Set me apart. Make me more like thyself." If you pray that, believer, that is to ask in Jesus' name, because that is God's will for you. Verse 20, "Neither pray I for these alone, but for them also which shall believe on me through their word." And the Lord there is saying, there is a people that will be saved. I pray for them. It's right then that we get before the Lord and we pray that he would save those for whom he has died. And that is to ask in the Lord's name. If you turn over to the book of Ephesians, and it is a good thing to, when reading through the epistles, that you identify the different prayers that the apostles are making. And that's a good way to study the epistles. But I'll just show you some examples of Paul's prayers here in Ephesians. Ephesians chapter 1, verse 18, Paul is praying that the eyes of your understanding being enlightened, that ye may know what is the hope of his calling, and what the riches of the glory of his inheritance in the saints, and what is the exceeding greatness of his power. And Paul here is praying that God's people would have a greater understanding. If you pray, Lord, give me a greater understanding of the things of God, give my brothers and sisters a greater understanding of the things of God, that is to pray in the name of Christ, because that is God's will for his people. Look in chapter 3, Ephesians chapter 3, 14. For this cause I bow my knees unto the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, of whom the whole family in heaven and earth is named, that he would grant you according to the riches of his glory to be strengthened with might by his Spirit in the inner man. And again, we know this is the will of God because God's word shows it. What am I to pray for in Christ's name? I am to pray that I would be strengthened with might by his Spirit in the inner man. Ephesians 3:18. There is this prayer that I may be able, that they may be able to comprehend with all saints what is the breadth and length and depth and height to know the love of Christ. If you pray, Lord, give me an increased understanding of thy love, that is a prayer prayed in Christ's name, because it's in accordance with the will of God for his people. Now, as we think of the Bible in that way, isn't it an awful thing that there are times we come to pray and we don't know what to pray for? The Lord have mercy upon us. His word is full of things that we are to pray for. And his word then gives this great promise. As we pray in accordance with the things that his word has said, that it is his will, I will do it. I will do it. Now, there are times we don't know God's will in a particular matter. And that does not mean that we're not to bring it before the Lord. And so it may be a loved one is ill. And we often face this dilemma. Do I pray for healing or do I pray that the Lord would take them home? I don't know the will of the Lord. Or maybe some a difficult situation and to us it just seems impossible. We don't know what to pray. We can praise God then for Romans 8:26. Likewise, the Spirit also helpeth our infirmities. For we know not what we should pray for as we ought. But the Spirit itself maketh intercession for us with groanings which cannot be uttered. And there are times as we come to pray, and it's as if we just groan. We cry, O Lord. But it's right that we do. It's right that we do. And surely we can pray, let the will of the Lord be done. Let me even submit to the will of God. And thinking about this as we are to pray in accordance with the will of Christ, I was struck by some words of Thomas Brooks, the great Puritan. He said, God looks not at the elegancy of your prayers, how neat they are, nor yet the geometry of your prayers, how long they are, nor yet at the arithmetic of your prayers to see how many they are, nor yet at the music of your prayers to see the sweetness of your voice, nor yet at the logic of your prayers, but at the sincerity of your prayers, how hearty they are. And surely we could add, are they prayed in Christ's name? Are they according to the will of Christ? I want to come then and see finally that to pray in this way is to pray in view of the worthiness of Christ. Whatsoever ye shall ask in my name, that will I do, that the Father may be glorified in the Son. If ye shall ask anything in my name, I will do it. And I want you to see then that to ask in the Lord's name, and the Lord doing it, brings this glory, that the Father may be glorified in the Son. And as we come to these words, evidently we want to look at them very practically in relation to our own prayers, because we want prayers that are answered. And a good test to apply to our prayers is this: is God's glory more important than my prayer request? So if someone is praying for a new job, the question could be asked, as you pray over a particular job, would I like this job, or would I like God to be glorified? And we would like to answer both. But what if that's not the Lord's way? What if it's the Lord's way that he would be glorified by you not getting that job? Or we could pray for healing for a loved one. So we can ask the question, would I like this loved one to be healed, or would I like God to be glorified? Now again, we would like to answer, I would like God to be glorified through the healing. And of course, that is sometimes the Lord's way. But what if it would be the case that the Lord would have that person to be chronically ill for a period of time? That they would have the thorn in the side, as it were, and the Lord would be glorified in giving sustaining grace. As we pray then, ultimately, this is to be our view: let the Lord be glorified. It comes back to this whole issue of, am I praying selfishly? Am I praying out of pride? Am I praying for my own ease? Or am I really praying God's mind in this? This is our challenge as we pray. Let me have the very mind of Christ as I pray. Christ desired the glory and honor of the Father, and that is to be ours as well. Our desire. James Montgomery Boyce said, "We are so filled with the idea that prayer is getting something from God that we rarely consider that prayer is actually a means by which God gets something from us." And so we make prayer all about our request: Lord, give me A, B, C, and D. And but Boyce said that we are to think that of prayer as a means by which God gets something from us, in the sense that prayer is all part of God's sovereign plan. Sometimes when Christians are introduced to the whole subject of the sovereignty of God, the whole issue of the doctrines of grace and so on, Reformed truth, they ask the question, well, if God has a people who he's going to save, why do I need to pray that people would be saved? God's going to do it anyway. The answer to the question is that God has not only ordained that a soul would be saved, but he's ordained the means by which they would be saved. Through the prayers of his people, and through the preached word, or through the communicated word. The Lord uses means. And when we come to pray in accordance with the will of God, in the name of Christ, surely our desire would be this: let even be my prayer be part of thy great sovereign plan. That the hand of God is moving in answer to my prayer, as God has willed not only the outcome, but even my prayer. Because all of our prayers come back to this great end: let it be for the glory of God. I mentioned at the beginning that sometimes words like this can frustrate God's people, because we feel it has not been our experience.
And there are various reasons why our prayers can be hindered. And Peter spoke of the home life. The prayers of a husband can be hindered as he fails to honor his wife. And of course, the opposite could be true. The prayers of a parent could be hindered as they have a wrong attitude towards their children. The prayers of a child could be hindered as they have a wrong attitude towards the parent. So that can be a hindrance to prayer. James 4:3 speaks about asking amiss. Ye ask and receive not because ye ask amiss. That is, there has been some of these sinful motivations that has actually caused the asking. Or it may be that we've been grieving the Holy Spirit of God, Ephesians 4:30. And as we have grieved the Holy Spirit, that has been a hindrance to prayer. Maybe we have asked, but we haven't asked in faith. Let him ask in faith, nothing wavering. But oh, may it be our desire as we go from this place that we would know more and more of what it is to pray truly in the name of Christ. And that our prayers would even be transformed through this text. That our spiritual life would be transformed through it. That we would pray over the will of God. That we would know more and more of God's will being performed in us. That we would be more and more like unto Christ. We trust the Lord will bless his word to all of our hearts. Amen. Amen.